Here's Elliott. He's got it for the touchdown. Prescott, Gallup, touchdown, what a catch! Prescott floats it for Cooper, hits him in stride. Cooper stays in bounds for the touchdown, wow!
Welcome back. It's Full Press Cowboys. I'm Chris Rucker. You can find me at Rucker2020 on Twitter. As usual, you can find Full Press at Full Press Coverage. And I have a special guest, a buddy of mine that I never met, but we've been talking for a while now. You can find him at BobbyBlackTX. If you've ever seen his videos with game reactions to the Cowboys, they are some of the funniest things you will. But am I calling you Robin or am I calling you Bobby Black?
It don't matter. You know, this is Bobby Black, you know, your favorite guy in disguise who, you know, I created by accident, you know. And so I just started being like, you know, Robin White is, you know, kind of whack. But, man, what's cool? What's the complete opposite of Robin White? And I was like, well, White Black. I was like, Robin, Bobby, man, my Bobby Black. And then I just went out with these things on and started, you know, videoing stuff with my phone. And then it, you know, took off from there. But. Yeah, you know, in real life, you know, it's just Robin White, you know, but I throw on the Bobby Blacks and it's like, you know, the party stops. It's like, you know, Superman, you know, pulling off the suit.
I hear you. So tell the listeners a little bit about you, like what part of Texas you're from, how long you've been a Cowboys fan, the whole nine.
Man, I'm from a little town called Redwater in East Texas. The closest real town is Texarkana. And, I mean, I've been a Cowboys fan as long as I've probably been alive. There's, you know, little photos of me and sitting in my dad's lap with the little cowboy helmets on and stuff like that. And, yeah, I live in Louisiana now for my job. I've lived here for several years, but I've, you know, just always been diehard Cowboys. I live and die on every play, just like anyone that's really a Cowboys fan, you know, so. I'm old enough, you know, I'm about to turn 40, so I'm old enough to have seen and lived the glories of the 90s and lived through the trash of the now. Early 2000s. Yeah, so it's
I'm in the same boat. I'll be 40 in a couple of years, so I can remember the domination and how good they were, but it just feels like we've been right there a couple times since then. And just never can get over the hump. And then you get to a season like this one where.
Oh, my.
And I'll ask you, you know, as a fan. Obviously, the team's not good enough to win the Super Bowl this year.
Right.
I can't convince myself to cheer for them to lose. I watch every game, and I want them to win every game. Now, when they do lose, I'm like, all right, it's closer to a higher draft pick.
Right, yeah.
The whole nine. Are you one of the people that can just be like, I hope they lose today and not pay attention to it?
No, I can't. And I say that, I'll be like, man, forget it. I ain't watching these trash Cowboys every Sunday, you know. And then like my wife will tell you, every Sunday rolls around, I'm right there in front of the TV. Yep. Just, you know, I just can't be one of those guys to just be like, oh, I'm rooting for a draft pick. Now, if you want to be like that, man, go be a Jets fan. You know, I just – can't do it, man. And I know the Cowboys haven't been like super, super good for a while, but you know, people on the internet tend to like think the Cowboys have been going like 2-14 for 10 years and they haven't.
Yeah, make it seem that way. Yep.
Made the playoffs, even though they've had early exits from the playoffs. And most of these people that talk that root for a certain other team in the division that wears green helmets, you know, they those are the people that always talk about the Cowboys being trash when it's like, you got lucky and got, you know, one date to the prom and got prom king. And then, you know, now all of a sudden it's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the Cowboys are coming off of a victory against the Minnesota Vikings, probably one of their better total team efforts of the season. On the last episode, I talked about how the defense seemed to be getting better. And through the first half of this game, they were playing better than I'd seen them play all year, hitting hard, taking the ball away, stopping people on third down. And then the wheels kind of fell off in the second half. But do you feel like the team is finally starting to come around to the new coaching staff? Because we didn't just get a new head coach. We got a new offensive – well, not a new offensive coordinator, still Kellen Moore, but a new offensive philosophy for the most part. New defensive coach, new offensive line coach, new defensive line coach, new linebackers coach, new defensive coordinator, new special teams. And with COVID going, they didn't get the time allotted to when a new coaching staff comes in, along with a couple other teams. Do you feel like they're finally starting to get it and the coaches are starting to come around to using the personnel that they do have?
Yeah, you know, I kind of do. I'm not saying a buy-in or a belief in the scheme, you know, like all those things that were really hot topics at the beginning of the season, like, you know, the defensive personnel wasn't buying into Mike Nolan's scheme and this, that, and the other. I think, you know, there's not a guy out there on that field that's not trying to win his matchup every down. But they had a lot of individuals. I think now it looks like they're actually kind of playing as a team. Mm-hmm. Now, with that team, there's still some holes in the game. I mean, but it's not Madden. You're not going to have a bunch of 99 players all over the field. So we're going to, no matter how, in a salary cap league, no matter how it shakes out, they're going to have some guys that are weaker at their positions. But I believe overall they're playing better as a team on offense and defense.
One of the moves that was made today that I don't think got enough talk during the game when I was watching, they moved Zach Martin out to right tackle, and they put Connor McGovern as right guard. So they took Terrence Steele completely off the field. To me, that makes all the sense in the world, because from everything McCarthy was saying before that, calling it, you know, fantasy football and stuff like that, to me, you get the five best offensive linemen out there, not just the position that they play. And that, to me, shows that they are still trying to win. They are still making adjustments, and they are trying to find the right rhythm when you got so many injuries happening.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and a lot of people have been wanting to see Connor McGovern get some snaps on the field on game day. You know, they used, what was he, a third round draft pick, I think. Mm-hmm. He's been, you know, on the Cowboys for 2 or 3 years now. And Zach Martin played tackle and guard in college at Notre Dame. So I think it was time to try to get your best players on the field. And I understand with injuries and scheme and practice, that's been hard. But it seemed like today, even though, you know, they still had some trouble, they're going to have trouble, you know, when you don't have Dak there. But it seemed like they played a lot better today than they have been. And if Zach Martin's fine playing tackle, you know, I mean, he's the best player on your football team right now, probably. You know, if he's fine playing out there, then that's great. You know, and if McGovern can hold up in his guard spot, you know, let's see what we can do with these guys, because we don't know who's coming back next year. We hope Lyle and Tyron are back, but we don't know.
Right. The Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott himself actually rushed for 100 yards for the first time this season with the new change on the offensive line. And I want to think Pollard had about 75 yards. You're looking at almost 200 yards rushing on the ground with this new offensive line. So if this is something that they can do going forward in this weak-ass division, it's going to be fun these last six games. They got us again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right back in. I'll be glued to the TV Thanksgiving Day. You know, I'll have my little popcorn and my little Cowboys cup. And because me and my wife were just spending Thanksgiving at home, just the two of us this year.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm going to be there just glued in, watching them play the Washington R words, you know, and it's, you know, which I'm scared of, because they have a for real good pass rush. We see what they did to us earlier in the season. And I'm like, if the team that plays Washington shows up again, it's going to be a rough Thanksgiving. But
well, I'll tell you, shows up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, now, if this team that played today shows up, it'll be, you know, worth staying awake for.
Well, I think it's it's a trend now. It's been three games that they've actually been competitive and played winning football. Because let's be honest, they should have, for all intents and purposes, beat Pittsburgh. They did that to themselves by letting Pittsburgh hang around. They dominated that game for three quarters almost, and it shouldn't even have been as close as it was. But I don't believe in the whole mental wins or whatever it is when you still lose the game. And I don't believe in that, but I do think they took something out of that and thought, well, shit, we can play with the Steelers. We can definitely play with the Eagles, the Washington football team, and the Giants.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm like you. It's hard to say, well, it was a moral victory when you still got an L on the scorecard, but they did take away some positives from that game. And I think, you know, it may have – I don't know, ignited something in them, because it seems like they're still putting out max effort when at the beginning of the season, I mean, you could just tell. And them guys.
Yep. So let's talk about the future of the team. But before we get into that, what we were supposed to do, this over the bye week, and I let the time slip away, and then you ended up having jiu-jitsu tournaments. And I saw you won gold.
Yeah, double gold. I got my little medals hanging right here. That was just a little small regional tournament. I try to still compete a couple of times a year, you know, since I retired from fighting 3 years ago. And so I still try to go do a couple of competitions a couple of times a year. And with COVID and the restrictions, this was kind of the only one I could get in and then follow the state guidelines over there in Mississippi. And which, you know, so we had a good turnout, you know, everybody was safe reasonably, you know, when it comes down to it, you get on the mat, you're trying to strangle another human being, but, you know, we all passed our little, you know, guidelines to compete, and then, you know, followed all the guidelines during the match. So, I mean, I guess it was safe as it can be in 2020.
So what we're going to do is we're going to look back on the first 10 games of the season. And I told you about this already. I want you to give me your biggest player that has let you down this season. The biggest player that's had the upside, who's been the MVP over the first half, and how you feel about the new coaching staff. We'll start with the biggest letdown, though. Tell us who's let you down the most this season, one player.
Oh, see, I had kind of went offense and defense because
– Oh, you can give one of each. That's fine.
Well, and then now things are – you know, I have to watch the game today. I'm like, but the first – let's just say excluding the Vikings win, you know, Zeke was the biggest letdown on offense. He just trying to do too much, turn the ball over, you know, trying to – and I really believe – people are like, oh, he's diminished. Well, he never was like a Saquon going to bust off a 90-yard run. And he's kind of evolved more into like a bruiser back, you know. So I really think with him and Pollard now, it could be like a little thunder and lightning combination, you know. But I think Zeke was trying a little too hard at the beginning of the year to get people to respect him. And you know how it is when you hold on too tight, the shit slips through your fingers. And he was really disappointing, especially the first five or six games, you know, before Dak got injured. And but it seems like even Zeke's turning it around now. You know, he's kind of like relaxed and just going to do the best he can and not try to win the game on every run. And I really think it's helping his game out. As we see the last couple of weeks, he's had an improvement and the turnovers have kind of gone away. On defense, I mean – let's exclude the two defensive linemen free agents that they done sent packing, because those guys just – they showed up for a cup of coffee and didn't do anything. You know, they got the star on their helmet and then took it easy.
Yeah.
But as far as Cowboys, especially Cowboys with contracts, the biggest disappointment on defense has got to be Jalen Smith. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if – you know, he likes to play at a high speed, but he didn't quite have the speed he had. But I've been rooting for him because, man, to go through what he went through injury-wise and to come back, you can't help but root for the guy. Mm-hmm. And in 2018, him and Vander Esch, you know, they basically were wrecking the league. And it seemed like he kind of has taken a little step back. He just, I think he's another one of those guys that's like almost trying too hard. You know, as soon as there's any movement from the offense, he just sprints and gets faked out. And then he's making a tackle 10 yards downfield because he took the wrong angle. I almost think if you put like one of the little daredevil blindfolds on, maybe he could just like, instead of going the wrong direction, he'd go right to the football. You know, and then with that big contract he got, you know, he's just quit worrying about selling sunglasses and start worrying about making tackles because, you know, contract or not, it's easy to get cut loose in the NFL. So I'm rooting for him to turn it around, but he has let me down this year.
Minor right along with you, Zeke. I think Zeke gets a hard rep. He got the big contract. He held out. So now everybody's expecting him to put up numbers like Christian McCaffrey when that was never his game. Now, I do expect him to get 100 yards. I do expect him to not fumble the ball. I do expect him to get touchdowns. I do expect him to make it on third and fourth and one, you know, the stuff that he's been known for. This year, for whatever reason, like you said, he's pressing a little bit too much before today's game. Today was obviously his best game of the season.
Oh, absolutely.
Zeke's really good at picking up blitzes, and he does a lot of the little stuff that doesn't go noticed by the average fan that's just looking at fantasy football stats, and that's not the kind of running back he ever was. But he's been my most disappointing this year. I really expected him to step up after Dak got injured, and for the longest time, the argument was, Dak is the Robin to Zeke's Batman. Well, we're seeing now that it was the other way around. That the argument is, you know, anybody can put up numbers with the Cowboys. Well, no, they can't. We've seen that Dak is definitely deserving of the money that they should pay him. Whether or not they do it, we don't know.
Yeah.
And then on defense, Jalen Smith was mine too. And just like you, man, I like him. When that guy was laid out on that field at Notre Dame, like, you just felt bad for him because he was coming out. He was going to be the best linebacker of that class. He probably would have went top five. Dallas gets him in the second round. He loses a bunch of money. Career almost over. Had to work his ass off to come back. And those first couple years he was back, he was like a wrecking ball. But the last season and a half, it hasn't been just this season. It was last season also.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like his eyes are making him do something completely different than what he wants. And he's not fast enough to make up for it anymore. And, you know, he going into today's game, he had 90 tackles. He's making 10 tackles a game. But they're all 10 yards down the field. They're right. All, you know, when somebody's already on the ground, he jumps on top of them so he can get credit for it. And then he jumps up swiping. And I'm like, dude, it's first down. What are you swiping for? So yeah. I understand how people are annoyed by him, but I like him. I'm hoping he can turn it around. The rumor mill around the Cowboys this past week was if he doesn't turn his play around, they're going to try to renegotiate the contract that he just got. And if he doesn't agree to it, then he's gone. So,
yeah. And they could, you know, I mean, if he wants to be a Cowboy, and people say that don't matter, but it matters. I'm sorry. You know, people get mad about that, but I'm sorry. It does matter being a Cowboy. Like, there's several franchises. If you're a Packer, if you're a Steeler, mm-hmm. if you're a Cowboy, a 49er, I mean, that just goes so much further down the road past football than it does if you play for Jacksonville or, you know, Houston, some of these other franchises. And Jalen's not going to be Luke Kuechly. You know, right. He's not going to be that guy that just dominates the entire field. He's not going to be Khalil Mack. But if Jalen, I think a lot of it is, you know, the money. You know, if Jalen took a little more team-friendly deal and played within his means, you know, I still think he could be a successful player and help this defense out. I mean, honestly, you know, him and Vander Esch, I mean, who's after that anyway? You know, he's still your best out of your best two linebackers. So we need him. We just need him to make – I guess play more within himself and trying to be Superman.
Right. You know? Trying too hard to live up to the money. And then with the people that are comparing the money to the stats and the performance, you know, but that's on the Cowboys franchise. They gave him the money. They obviously saw something in him worth paying him that and trying to hold on to him. So now you have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I think if he can just find a way to go back to playing how he was a couple years ago when he was kind of – he was a lot freer. I think Sean Lee coming back helps. I think Sean Lee being on the field, you know, 30-40% of the plays, giving Jalen a break, and also out there to see and tell Jalen, like, hey, this is what you should have saw, because he's out there seeing it as well. I think Jalen didn't have a bad game today against the Vikings. Made a couple really good hits on Dalvin Cook. Boy, they were lighting Dalvin Cook up out there. Mm-hmm. He was getting his yards, but he was getting hit. And as a fan, that's what I wanted. I wanted to see them trying, not just getting ran over. Give the guy. So let's see. The biggest upside, like who coming to the team in the last year or so that you've watched play that you think is going to be one of the cornerstones for the next couple years?
Okay. Yeah, I thought about this too. Offense and defense, and of course, offense, you know, I was saying 99.5% of Cowboy fans going to be like, CD's nuts, Lamb, you know. But and I agree, he's going to be a number one. I don't see him keeping all three of the receivers for the next 3 to 4 years. It's just going to be too much money involved. But I really think the young rookie center, Tyler Biadasz, is going to be a cornerstone of that offensive line. He can stay healthy for the next several years. And he wasn't even supposed to start this year. This year was going to be kind of his redshirt year. Joe Looney was kind of going to go out. He's got a year left on his contract, I think, and be the – Joe Looney started at center today because Tyler got injured. So I think Tyler Biadasz is going to be another one of those Travis Frederick types, you know, Zach Martin types that can just stay – if he can stay healthy, he'll stay in the trenches and be able to make those blocks and make those calls for a long time.
I like the center. I like Brandon Knight as well. I think Brandon Knight coming in and being forced to play before he got injured showed them that he can be an NFL tackle, because Tyron Smith is, even though he's only 30, you know, early 30s, he's been in the league for a while. But my pick would be Dalton Schultz. I think when Blake Jarwin went down, everybody was like, shit, now we don't have a tight end. Well, now we've seen – from what we've seen this year, you got two next year. Now you've got two tight ends that can go out, catch passes, and that can block a little better than what you thought. So I'm really excited about the tight end position for Dallas going forward because of the way Schultz has played this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't argue with that. That's a good pick. I was kind of like thinking on the rookies, but yeah, Dalton has definitely been a pleasant surprise in a sea of despair season on the offense.
What about defense?
I mean, is there any other answer than Trayvon Diggs? I mean, the dude has just come in and he attacks the football. And then, I mean, he got a foot. And this is what makes – this is – I know it's an accident and it's just purely bad luck. But
Jalen.
Of all Jalen Smith runs into him, is on that play, Trayvon Diggs breaks his foot, and you're like,
yeah.
Damn it, Jalen. Could you just be and get some Gatorade or something? You already in enough hot water with the fan
base. Right. They got a whole team of people you can hurt on the other side, and you hurt our best cornerback.
I mean, yeah, you know. But, I mean, it's got to be Trayvon, you know, on defense. I can't even pick anybody else. You know, he attacks the football. He doesn't even flinch when he gets burned. He just goes right back in there. So, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for him. And you see how good Stephon is on offense. And, you know, they've probably been fighting against each other their entire lives, being brothers. I think he's going to have a great career.
I like Diggs a lot. I liked him when they drafted him. You could obviously see that he was thrown into the shit, basically, with all injuries that they had and getting left out on the island against number one NFL wide receiver. I think he's held his own. He's been beat, but he's also made some plays too. But I'll try to go different from you. I'll go with a guy that showed up the last couple of weeks that they finally had the force to play, and that's Neville Gallimore. they drafted him to be on the defensive line. And since he's been in the game, they've been way better against the run since they've gotten rid of Dontari Poe and gave him a shot. So I'm really excited about him and Antoine Woods teaming up for the next couple years on the inside, now that the defense has kind of finally started to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, Gallimore's definitely been a bright spot on that defensive line for sure. And another guy that wasn't expected to play his rookie year has really stepped up. I definitely agree with you there. He's going to be good.
Let's see. Who's your most valuable player for the entire team?
Well, it's the most valuable Cowboy right now is Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother conversation. I'm going to say MVP right now, active on the field. I would say probably Zach Martin. You know, he's like the only cornerstone left on the offense that can kind of keep it. And he's almost like the glue holding that together. You know, if you lose him, it's going to be just, we saw him out, a game, but if we lost him for the whole season right now, I don't even like to speak that name. So I'm going with Zach, because there's no telling, what he's doing in the meeting rooms right now. There's no telling what he's able to do in practice that we don't see. That's probably keeping that team together.
I'll try to pick somebody different, but that Zach Martin was actually my pick also. I'm going to go in a different direction because he's not putting up a lot of numbers, but he's making big plays when they matter. I'm going to go Amari Cooper. I was real hard on Amari Cooper going into this year because he disappears a lot. But I think just today, 4th and 6, when you need a play, you go to Cooper. And he made a lot of tough catches today on 3rd and 4th down. Honestly, I think he's unstoppable. I think his route running is so good. Like, if they wanted to throw the ball to him 15 times a game, he'd catch 10 of them and he'd have 100 yards and a couple touchdowns. For whatever reason, they don't force it to him. And I think he makes Gallup and CeeDee Lamb a lot better just by being on the field. I'll pick Amari Cooper just because you took Zach Martin already. But like you said, Dak Prescott's the MVP for this team.
Yeah. And I can't argue with picking Amari. Like you said, it's people look at the contract and this, that, and the other. But Amari dictates coverage. The reason Gallup and CeeDee are getting their catches is because Amari's dictating coverage. He's worth trading a 1-4. And he has disappeared. He's had some. I don't know if it's effort. I don't want to say effort issues, but he had some questionable games, where was Amari? But Stephon Gilmore shut him down in New England in the rain. Okay, Stephon Gilmore shuts down everybody in New England in the rain. Give me a little bit of a break, but right. I love Amari. I like his character. We in a world of like crazy wide receivers, he's one of those dudes just you don't got to worry about. He's there. He's going to play. He's not going to, flip out and propose to the kicking net.
Yeah.
I like guys like that. Maybe he needs to be a little bit more of a dog, but not everybody's a dog, man. But, when you need a catch and you need a route run, he's going to be your guy. He's going to get open.
It's definitely a big time swing from Dez Bryant to him. And as much as I love Dez, the volatility that he brought with him, especially towards the end when his skills were deteriorating, it seemed like the outbursts were happening a little bit more. With Cooper, he makes a mistake, he runs back to the huddle. He makes a touchdown, he runs back to the huddle. Like he's just even keel the entire time. Yeah. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you want to be like, damn, man, get mad. But
yeah, the fans won't that. And then
when they get it.
Then they get it, they're like, well, it's diva.
So, yeah, we're all fickle.
Like trying to get your wife to pick where do you want to go out to eat. What do you want?
We're all fickle. How do you feel about the new coaching staff, mainly Mike McCarthy?
Man, I was one of those guys that was kind of – I wanted him to make a big splash hire, but when they announced McCarthy, I wasn't mad about it. You know, I was kind of like, yeah, I've seen him kind of get into it with officials, get into it with players. You know, everybody's like, oh, he only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. So what? You know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
The Patriots have got everybody fooled and thinking you just win every year, and it's not true. Mm. So I liked the hire, and it's so hard to tell this year because almost like this year is Fugazi. You know what I mean? Yep. Obviously, whoever wins the Super Bowl, they're going to get a trophy. If it was the Cowboys, I would be the first dude in line at the celebration parade with my mask on. So I'm not going to – but – it's just a weird – it's the worst year to change coaches. So I give them a little bit of a pass. And if we're doing this next year, if we're starting off this bad next year, then, you know, Jerry – well, we always thought Jerry would have somebody on a short leash, but he gave Garrett 9 years.
Ate too many.
Yeah, yeah. You know, generous if you want to say 7, because, you know, 20 – was 2016, you know, they had a hell of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2014.
2014 and 16.
Yeah, 2014 and 16. So it was like Garrett would just, you know, do just enough to stick around. But you're right, you know. So I was not a Mike Nolan guy. I'm still not a Mike Nolan guy, but, mm-hmm. you know, Minnesota scored, what, 28 points a day or 26?
28
points. That's an improvement over the 40-something they were giving up the first 3 or 4 games. You know, granted, yeah, Seattle, but – so we're seeing some improvement. You know, maybe we can all learn from our mistakes, so I'm willing to give this whole coaching staff another season if we have a normal offseason. You know, maybe we'll see some improvements. You know, if we see a big regression, I mean, I'll be the first one, you know, with my pitchfork out there in front of the star going, fire Mike Nolan.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I agree with you completely with the McCarthy hire. I was waiting on Lincoln Riley or somebody like that, you know. And when they hired McCarthy, I was just like – I thought about it for a while. I was like, that's not bad. Like, he's been good for a long time. He took a year off to kind of regroup. Yeah, he got fired from Green Bay, but like you said, he won a Super Bowl. Guess what? Sean Payton's only won one Super Bowl with Drew Brees.
Everybody wants Sean Payton.
Yeah. Roethlisberger's only got 2 Super Bowls, and he's been there 15 years. Rodgers has 1. Eli had 2. Okay, Payton had to go to another team to get 2. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll only have 1. As of right now, like, it's hard to win Super Bowls. Like you said, I mean, hell, if you're a Cowboys fan, you should know it's hard to win Super Bowls. Shit.
Absolutely.
It won since I was 12 years old.
Right. It's hard. Yeah. There's a reason this sport is so addictive, because at the beginning of the year, we all think we're going to win the Super Bowl, but only one team gets to. And
yep.
You know, look how long it took Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. We finally got Patrick Mahomes, you know, in his second year. You know, so it's – yeah, McCarthy wasn't the big fancy hire. And I know a lot of people wanted Lincoln Riley, but, I mean, y'all watch the Big 12? I do. You can see my Longhorn hanging on the wall. I've been a Texas fan, you know, my whole life. The Big 12 does not even know what defense is, which is surprising, because there's a lot of Big 12 – athletes that are great in the secondary. You know, Earl Thomas played for Texas. Quentin Jammer played for Texas. But, I mean, have you seen how many points Oklahoma gives up? Who's thinking Riley got
for his
DC? You know, it's not – we saw what happened at the beginning of this year. You could put up 40, but if you lose by – if you give up 42, it don't matter.
Right.
I'm not always the big – let's – I mean, I don't know. I'm wrong a lot. I'm probably wrong more than I'm right, but I'm not ready to, like, you know, throw Mike McCarthy out in the dumpster yet.
Right. I wanted a younger coach. I did want that. But like I said, when McCarthy came in, I was good with it after I thought about it. And not only with COVID, man, but when have you, your entire fandom as a Cowboys fan, when have you seen injuries like what we've had this year? I mean, Frederick retires. Tyron Smith is out for the year. Lyle Collins out for the year. So those are your two starting tackles. You lose your backup center in Looney. When he finally comes back, his replacement gets hurt in Biotich. The only offensive guard that's been, or the offensive lineman that's been there every year, is Connor Williams, and he's the worst one in the bunch. Like, yeah, he's the one that you can afford to lose, and his ass shows up for work every day. And then your quarterback breaks his leg. You know, then you lose your top cornerback coming into the year in Awuzie after Byron Jones leaves. Sean Lee's hurt. Leighton Vander Esch is hurt. All these, you know, you just got injury. It's hard to, and honestly, nobody cares though. Like, we can sit here, yeah, and we can bitch about it, but guess what? Like, if the Cowboys play the Falcons, everybody here in Atlanta doesn't care that Dak's not playing. If the Falcons win, right, I'm taking shit for the rest of the week about the Falcons beating the Cowboys.
Oh, I know. Bro, I live in Louisiana, and all these Saints fans, magically everybody in this state became a Saints fan, you know, once they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been to some of the games with some of my friends that are Saints fans when the Cowboys have played the Saints, and, you know, you hear all the trash. I'm really happy that, you know, 2018 we got that win. I was at that game. Ooh, thank goodness, because yeah, the last two I'd went to, the Cowboys just got their ass steamrolled by the Saints in Texas Stadium. So, but it's sort of similar deal. You know, if the Cowboys and Saints play tomorrow and the Saints steamroll them, you know, like I heard about it last year, we beat y'all, we backup quarterback. Yeah, you're right. No one cares. It's always right, next man up, you know, and this year has been really across the NFL, you know, there's a lot of teams just hurting with injuries. I mean, yep, Eagles fans would tell you they're the only team with injuries, you know, but it's the whole NFL, you know, whole NFL has injuries.
Well, before we get out of here, let's talk about this game coming up on Thanksgiving. The winner of this game goes into the weekend in first place in the NFC East. The 3-7 Dallas Cowboys and the 3-7 Washington football team play on Thanksgiving at 4:25 Eastern time, as usual. The last couple games have done nothing, but you said it earlier. They pull you back in. Every Sunday they lose, and you're like, the hell with it. I'm done. It's no good. And then by Wednesday, you're like, eh. Well, you know, such and such sounded like he's looking good in practice this week. Maybe we can. And now here we are. We got one win. You get a win on Thanksgiving. You're in first place in the division, controlling your own destiny, really. What do you think is going to go down on Thursday?
Oh, man. I don't know. You know, there is, you know, the last time they met, they got steamrolled. So, oh, and, you know, of course, that was when Dalton got concussed and everybody's like, man, they should have fought that dude, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, they probably should have, you know, but what's done is done. You know, past is the past. You know, the Cowboys, like you said, you know, watching it today, yeah, they're like our favorite radio show on Sirius XM. You know, I listen to Rich Davis, you know, bitch about stuff for 2 hours and say, I'm done with this show, man. I'm tired of these dudes complaining all day in their fancy houses. You know what? Monday morning, I'm going to be like, all right, man, let me see what Covino and Rich did this week. You know, I got to know, because the Cowboys are just like a drug. I'm going to watch. But I want to say the Cowboys are going to win, you know, 21-17, but I don't know. Yeah. That's what I want, though. Yeah.
I, a couple weeks ago on a podcast, I said I was done picking them to win until they won another game. But I said that the week leading into the game against Washington. So during that prediction show, I couldn't pick. I'm not going to pick Washington. I will never pick anybody in the NFC to win. I don't give a shit if I'm playing quarterback. I'm not picking anybody in the NFC East to beat the Cowboys. I picked Minnesota over Dallas today.
I know.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they're trending up, though. Andy Dalton looked a lot better today than he had against Arizona. I think he's kind of grasped the concept of what they need out of him. I think the defense has played well like 2.5-3 games in a row now. I really think it's almost like a different football team than the one we watched the first 6 or 7 games, just because of the defense and the special teams. So I'm going to pick Dallas to win. I don't know what the score is going to be, but I don't think it's going to – listen to how dumb this is going to sound. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think they're going to win by like 10, because I watched Washington play today and they're awful.
Yeah, they are. It's going to be who's awfuler.
Who's less awful.
Who's less awful. I would love it to be like that because, you know, I thought last year they were going to steamroll Buffalo and they got steamrolled by Buffalo. So it's like the Cowboys are kind of due for a big Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say I will not tolerate no Andy Dalton slander on my timeline this week. Everybody's
going to
Garrett. Hey, bro, play them both. I don't care. As long as you just get the ball to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. But I would love it to be a blowout. I hope you're right. You know, I'm going to – if it is, I'll be cheering. You know, but I think it could be closer because if anybody can shoot themselves in the foot, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
And you're right about Thanksgiving. It feels like I can't even remember the last time they won on Thanksgiving. It may have been against Washington a few years ago. It turns out Buffalo's really good. Who knew that last year? I remember them getting spanked by San Diego on Thanksgiving a couple years ago.
Yeah, what about – yeah, that.
So, one thing Dallas does have going for them is the fact that Washington, you know, it's 10 games in. They're not good, just like the Cowboys aren't good. Dallas is lucky enough to be at home, so they won't have to travel the day before. They came out of this game pretty healthy. I don't think anybody got hurt for the first time all season. We didn't lose anybody. And you got Alex Smith playing quarterback for – I keep wanting to call him the Skins, but for Washington's football team. And I'm not afraid of Alex Smith at all. And those will be my famous last words. He'll put up 350 yards and like 4 touchdowns. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not afraid of Alex Smith. So I think Dallas should win by 10. I think they should.
They should.
Whether or not they will. And if they win this game by 10, both teams are looking at this game like we win, we got 4 wins, we're in first place, and we have an extended break, almost like a second bye week.
Yeah, I agree. If Dallas can have less than 2 turnovers, that'll help a lot. You know, today they played a pretty good game, turnover-wise, you know, if Zeke holds onto the ball, maybe the special teams keeps making plays. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, like a 21-10, that'd make my Thanksgiving pretty happy. You know,
yeah.
Cowboys to win.
It would. Well, before we get out of here, man, you got anything you want to plug or where people can follow you on social media?
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to see my wacky Bobby Black stuff, it's Bobby Black TX on Twitter. And in my regular life, Robin White TX on Instagram. And then you can kind of, if you follow me on Instagram, you can see me. And, you know, I post a lot of pictures of my hot wife, who I pay an absorbent amount of money to stay with me because she can do way better. You know, I shout out her, not her personal trainer, but the gym she goes to, Mr. Patrick. He runs a lab class called Legs, Abs, and Booty. And I send Mr. Patrick a Christmas card every year for the work he has done. But those are my two social medias. I have a YouTube channel, the Bobby Black YouTube channel. I haven't put anything on there in a while, but I'm going to try to get back on. And I've been kind of lazy due to COVID. And that's really an excuse. Yeah, I've just been lazy. So there's a lot of my old Bobby Black stuff down on my Instagram timeline when I wasn't kind of separating them. But those are the 3 things I've got.
I'll tell you, it's hilarious. Like, when I come across it, I just sit there and laugh about it. Like, this guy is ridiculous. So I tell you to go follow it. It's a lot of the Dallas Cowboys reaction stuff. I think is hilarious when they lose and you're just like sitting there with a bottle of empty alcohol, like laid up against the wall.
The one where they lost to the Saints last year probably got the most. I had the trash cans, and then my wife comes by and throws some change in the jar. Yeah, that was a big one. I need to really put that out again just to bump it. But yeah, I need to get back on that. And like I said, you scroll through some of my older Instagram videos, you'll find a lot of stuff because, you know, when I go to Vegas, I throw on the Bobby Black shades and I have this little cheesy gold tie I put on. I pretend to be rich. It's just, if somebody gets a laugh, man, you know, if I made your day, I'm happy about that, man, because, you know, life's too short to be miserable. So
I hear
that's
that.
That's what I do, man.
Well, Robin, man, I appreciate you coming on. We talked about this earlier in the season about it. So I'm glad we got to do it. Hopefully this won't be the last time. We'll definitely have to do it again. I want to get ahead of myself. If they go to the playoffs, yeah, we're going to do this again.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe we can do an end of the season wrap up. Hell, we need to just get together one day and we talk about some old school wrestling, man. You know, I hadn't watched it in a while, but man, you know, I grew up in the South. It was NWA and, yep, World Class Championship Wrestling. I didn't get WWF till I was a teenager. So man, we need to get together one night, have some whiskey and talk about that.
Now that sounds like, if COVID would ever get done, we need to damn meet up somewhere and
absolutely
have some whiskey and
road trip it.
Yep.
Well, that's last time with my wife, I have to go, like they said in Rocky II, to I have to see my best friend who I've never met.
That I've never met. Well, man, I appreciate it. I'm gonna wrap this up and post this. This episode will come out on Wednesday before the Thanksgiving Day game. We gotta leave a little time to marinate from this big win we just got with Minnesota.
Absolutely.
But this is Chris Rucker, as usual. You know, follow me on Twitter at Rucker2020. Again, with my boy Robin White, a.k.a. Bobby Black. You can find him at BobbyBlackTX on Twitter. And this has been the Thanksgiving Day episode. We're full steam ahead towards Washington, and we will talk to you after that. Peace.